I want to start with a question. If you knew that you would never die, would it change the way that you live? I'd say the answer to that is yes. I'd say that having that understanding and knowledge would change everything we do. It would change everything that we feel, how we go about life, how we would approach life, how we would approach relationships, and certainly how we would approach worship. Now, many of us today have come off of the Easter weekend, the spiritual high that happens in churches everywhere. We didn't get a chance to meet, you know, together this year like other years, but we had quite a bit of presence joining us. And every year at that time, churches everywhere focus on the resurrection of Jesus. And one of the things that we say as Christians is that he's alive. Think of what we sang today. I think Carissa said this morning at warm-up, she said, seems like Easter, we're singing resurrection songs. It's all because of Jesus, I'm alive. That's true. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. That is true. Forever he is glorified, and we sing hallelujah. They're all songs that relate to the life that is lived by someone who believes that they'll never die. What I want to deal with today is a passage of scripture that I don't know why I've never seen it before, but I did see it last week. And one of my mentors was preaching. Well, he referred to this scripture, and then he referred me to another sermon where a gentleman was preaching about this, and it fascinated me, and I thought, I have to share this with my people. And it's the idea that the resurrection is not just any other day, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. If you know anything about the book of Hebrews, or even if you don't, let me kind of give you an introduction about it. It's basically the writer of Hebrews is basically showing the Hebrew people how that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament covenant and now to move on to this new way of living by faith in Jesus, by virtue of Jesus being the Lamb of God that died and rose again. And as he starts to write in Hebrews chapter 1, he begins to compare Jesus to the prophets. He said Jesus is greater than the prophets. He said that Jesus is the exact representation of God. There are people in the world today that will tell you Jesus nor the Bible ever says anything about Jesus being God, but yet that is false because the Bible is filled with references that Jesus himself has the divine nature. He is God. He is the second person of the Godhead. He made claims to that, and he backed it up by his resurrection. And so the writer of Hebrews says Jesus is greater than the prophets. He says Jesus is greater than the angels. You never find angels being worshipped, but yet people worship Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews that all the angels are going to worship him. In Revelation, when the Apostle John saw an angel, he tried to worship him, and the angel stopped him and said, do not do that. Reserve your worship for God. But Jesus received his people's worship after his resurrection. He also writes that Jesus is greater than the foundation of this world. He said that Jesus himself laid the foundations, and the foundations will one day be wrapped up like a garment, but yet Jesus will stand. We can relate to that quite a bit because we see the foundations of the world. We see the world system. And you might be interested to note that the Bible says that the whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. That's what John said. In other words, there is a system of evil that's working in this world that is being driven by darkness. And Jesus is greater than that foundation. And then John says the same thing in 1 John chapter 2 when he says the world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Notice he says lives forever. If he says lives forever, it sounds to me like he says that we're not going to die. What would your life look like if you knew you would never die? And how can we know that we're never going to die? The thing that happened in history that tells us that we don't have to die is the resurrection of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus' death and resurrection changed everything. Now, I just wonder if he changed anything in your particular life. Because everything that has to do with faith means it's something that I believe, and because I believe it, I do it. When I am convinced that something is true, it affects the way that I live my life. And if you believe that Jesus is alive from the dead, and you believe that he's given you eternal life, and you believe that you're going to live forever, it will affect how you live now. And I want to put this message in contradiction or in contrast to what I see happening in the world today, when it seems like the majority of people in the world are scared to death that maybe this might be the end. I'll just be honest with you. I believe Jesus is coming back. And I believe he will come back in my lifetime. And you might say that's foolish to believe that. You think it's better to believe that you're going to have to continue living here and that he'll never come? You think that's a better plan? I like the idea of Jesus coming back. And the Bible says that he will come back. Everything that Jesus said that he would do, he did do. So yes, I think he will. And that's not my message today, but my message today is centered on the fact that the resurrection of Jesus changes everything about us. And if it hasn't changed you, let me encourage you today, consider whether or not this truth is actually a part of your makeup. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, speaking of what happened on the cross, and speaking of Jesus taking on the nature of humanity, he says this: since the children have flesh and blood, he, that's Jesus, too shared in their humanity. Do you see that? Jesus shares in our humanity. If you read all of Hebrews, you'll find out that he takes that humanity before the throne, and he's a great high priest, someone that when you go and pray to him, he understands what you feel. That's one of the reasons why he came. He shared in their humanity so by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who have all their lives were held in slavery by what? By their fear of death. Let's sink in a minute. Jesus came to break some things. Jesus came to free some things. Three things that I'm going to talk about today. First, that he's going to break the power of Satan. Second, he breaks the power of death. And third, he frees us from the slavery of the fear of death. Now, if that's not a positive message of hope, I don't know where to find one. This scripture changes everything. So what happened? At the death of Jesus, what exactly happened? First, the power of Satan was broken. Notice what the text said. The text said that he breaks the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Now, you know, in today's world, we see the devil as this big, huge thing, and he is. We look at the world system, and we see it's a big, huge thing, and it is. Honestly, a month ago, authorities in our world flipped the switch and shut things down and turned everything off, and it seemed like it happened without any notice. And it's a little bit overwhelming to me. You see, I have problems with what's happened anyway, because, to be honest with you, we have higher authorities. We have things like a constitution that really doesn't give people these kind of powers. But yet it did happen, so I thought, you know, I can cooperate and try to see if we can't be of some help with the, quote, crisis that's going on. But when you look at it, it's almost a massive thing that is overwhelming. This thing is so big. The powers are so extensive. And remember this. At the heart of it, there is the prince of darkness, who Paul says is really kind of running things. Now, that doesn't mean that our leaders are possessed by the devil, and it doesn't mean there aren't some good people leading in places. It doesn't mean any of that, but it means that as a whole, the world system is under the power of darkness. And I think if we all knew everything that was happening, it might scare a lot of us. But as the writer of Hebrews says, the foundations of the world are going to pass away, but Jesus is still going to stand. And we look at this world system, and we see how big and massive it is. And then we look at Satan, and we realize that he's pulling the strings about so many things. And we think, how in the world are we ever going to beat him? I want you to know something today, Christians, that your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did beat the devil. He not only beat the devil, he broke him. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, God said that there would be a seed of the woman that will come forth from the woman that would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. When Jesus died and said, "It is finished," he crushed Satan. He broke his power. When we think of Satan and we think about all of the power that he has in the world, we think of his attributes. The Bible calls him a liar. John 8:44, Jesus said, he's the liar. Every time he speaks, it's a lie. Satan really doesn't know how to tell the truth. He's the father of lies. And whenever anyone is lying, they are doing the bidding of Satan. If a government official is spreading lies, if someone on social media is spreading lies, if somebody out in the public square is spreading lies, they are singing in the devil's choir. They're not doing the work of righteousness. And so Satan is the liar, and the liar was broke by who? The one who said he is the truth. The Bible refers to Satan as the thief in John 10:10. Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he said, but I have come to give my life for my sheep. Satan uses the power to kill. The writer of Hebrews says he has the power to kill, but Jesus broke the power. Satan comes to kill. He comes to steal. He comes to destroy. He comes to kill your life. He comes to steal your happiness, your peace, your reputation. He comes to destroy your name, your legacy, your reputation, your character. Satan comes to do all of these things. And when we receive the lie and take the bait, the next thing we know, we find ourselves trapped, slaves to him, living under the fear of condemnation and death. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but his power was broken by one who said that I come to lay down my life for the sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus died and said, it is finished, the power to kill, steal, and destroy was broken today. Not only is he the liar and the thief, but he is the accuser. Satan is the one that comes to you and tempts you and says, hey, it's not a serious thing. You can do this, it's not serious at all. And as soon as you obey him, as soon as you fall into temptation and sin, then he says to you, it is very serious. And he tells you that you will never be any different. And he tells you that you will never overcome it. And he says that it's over for you. And he goes before God and he says, God, look at this Christian. Look at who he is. He calls himself a Christian and look what he's doing. And then Jesus, the one who breaks the power of the accuser. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25 that he, Jesus, is able to save us completely. Why? Because he always lives to intercede for them. Ladies and gentlemen that know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are not alone today. And if you have fallen into sin, come back to Jesus. Jesus is your intercessor before God today. The power of him who holds the power of death has been destroyed. He can't lie on you anymore. He can't steal from you anymore. He can't take your reputation anymore. He can't even get away with accusing you before the Father. Jesus refers to him in Mark 3:27 as the strong man. Now, that's language in our day that we don't understand very much. What's a strong man? Let me say it like this. I was listening to Tony Evans preach not too awful long ago, and he was talking about addictions. The Bible doesn't necessarily mention addiction by that name. The Bible uses another term, strongholds. Strongholds, something that fortifies a city. A strong man would be somebody who has the rulership over a city or a town or a household. Someone that is keeping everything at bay. And the stronghold in the strong man is not a good thing. A stronghold would be some kind of addiction activity, something that keeps us in bondage. A strong man would be somebody in the house that keeps life from happening. It would be the enemy, the devil, who tempts you with his lies and brings you to sin, which causes death, and then places you in his care of slavery and consistently preaches to you bondage and the fear of death. And yet Jesus himself breaks the strong man. Jesus said in Mark 3:27 that you have to first bind the strong man before you can steal and take from his house. And that's exactly what Jesus did. When John saw Jesus in Revelation, does anyone remember this scripture? When John saw Jesus, Jesus said, "It is me who was dead and now I'm alive, and I hold in my hands what? The keys of hell and death." The strong man has been broken. Don't give him more power than he has. Greater is he in you than he that is in the world. When Jesus died on the cross, the power of Satan was broken. And point two, the power of death was broken. The Bible says by his death he might break the power of him that holds the power of death. What does that mean today? Would it make no sense to you to say that we believe in the resurrection life and yet walk around every day scared to die? Would that be reasonable inside of you? I don't see how it can be. And I want to try to make some references about why we do that. And maybe this 1 week after Easter, we'll finally understand the ramifications of the resurrection and how it frees us to live life now. I remember Adrian Rogers used to say, "When you're ready to die, then you're ready to live." See, too many of us put too much stock on what we need to do in this life. And when you're young, it seems like you've got all kinds of time ahead of you. It really does. I really never thought of myself being the age that I am now, but every time I see a mirror, it reminds me. When I moved to Metropolis 15 years ago, I still considered myself a young pastor. And now everyone calls me Grandpa. Never saw that one coming. And it happens quicker than you know. And so we go through our 20s and then our 30s, and some folks younger than that say, "I'm never going to be 30. Yeah, you will. And then before long, we're in our 40s and we start thinking about, you know what? 40 is halfway to 80. And then we start thinking, have I done everything in my life that I wanted to do? And we start thinking about that and we start fretting. And then we start, the older you get, I'm telling you, the older you get, you start thinking about your mortality. You do. You go to bed at night and you have the awareness that just hits you out of nowhere. Wonder if this is it. Because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I think that we Christians have been deceived about this idea of death. We don't see it right. Let me try to explain to you. The deception of death is the belief that when we die, we cease to exist. No Christian would say that, because that's not what we've been taught, right? But a lot of Christians live that way. I've known people that sang all their life, some glad morning when this life is over. But when it came time for them to die, it was a different song they were singing. You see, I think it's easy to compartmentalize the truth, you know. Yes, we believe we're going to die someday. Or yes, we believe we're going to live again someday, but maybe not now. When we go through death's portal, man, I don't want to go there. I mean, a lot of people would say that. A lot of people would say, yes, I want to go to heaven, just not today. Now, I'm not telling you that it's wrong to say I would miss my family or I don't want my family to suffer. I'm not saying any of those things, but I'm telling you, when we get the right idea about death, it changes everything about how we live. In fact, when you get that idea right and realize there's a God that loves you more than your family does, there's a God that has a place waiting for you that is so much better than you could ever experience here, that will radically change how you live here. And you know what you'll spend your time doing? Trying to get your people ready to go there. Here's the truth. My family are people that God has given me to serve while I'm alive on this lifetime. But you know what? I belong first to Him. First to Him. And it's my job to do everything I can to prepare them for that day. When my time comes, it's not death for Pastor Brian. It's graduation day. It's a good day. The Bible says the day of death is better than the day of birth. And yet you don't hear that unless you preach a funeral for a Christian who's gone on. You see, it's not true. We don't cease to exist. And the lie is also that this life is all there is. I've got to make heaven happen now. I have to go for that gusto now. I got to get it all now. When you live like that, you're going to live under the fear of death. Because at the fear of death, when you die, it's over. Death, in this context, is unknown and it's terrifying. And the Bible calls that fear, which brings slavery. The writer of Hebrews said all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. It is, isn't it? It is a slavery. It's a bondage. It's a strong man. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, when he died, the power of death was broken. By definition, death is not the cessation of being. Death is rather a separation of the soul from the body. And people who cling to this life with all of their might will live with the fear of death every day. What happened at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? The power of the devil was broken. The power of death was broken. And the power of eternal life has been given to us in order that he might free us. Did Jesus ever talk about freedom? He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Strong man, gone. He said, if the Son make you free, you are free indeed. Does that mean we're free after we die? Or does that mean we're free now? When Jesus said, whoever believes in him shall have eternal life and never perish, everlasting life, does that begin after I die or does that begin now? If you're waiting for it to begin then, you're living in the fear of death now. You see that? Jesus said in John 8 or John 11, and so many of us have read this, but let me ask you, do you really believe these things? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said this before he was resurrected. The people couldn't quite understand it, and I get it too. Remember when Lazarus was sick and Jesus waited before he went to see Lazarus, and Lazarus died. What did Jesus say about Lazarus? He's sleeping. So the disciples, like us, they said, oh, he must be getting better. Jesus is like, let me explain it a different way. He's dead, but I'm glad because now I can go and show you the glory of God. When he comes back to Martha and Mary, he's talking to them about this. And he said them to them plainly, said, your brother's going to rise again. And they said, yeah, we know he's going to rise again someday. I mean, that's the way we think about death. We think about death as happening, and it's this big unknown, and we kind of cease to be. We're not really sure what's going to go on. But yeah, someday, you know, eons into the future, we're going to rise again. That's not true at all. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said that before he raised himself from the dead. Funny to me that anyone could say that Jesus never claimed to be God. Because it is only God that can say, I'm the resurrection. And I'm the life. And by the way, just on a side note, the charges against him was that he made himself out to be equal with God. A belief in the divinity of Jesus is necessary for salvation. That's just true. Because it's only God who can save us anyway. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me will live even though they die. Did you hear that? The one who believes in me will live. Live even though they die. What in the world? And then he goes on and says it like this. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. What would your life look like if you knew that you would never die? If you really believed you would never die, would you ever run around in fear of what might happen to you? Well, what if you get sick? What if I get sick? You know what? Most likely someday I will. What if your body breaks down? Most likely someday it will. One thing I've already learned is it will get older. And it doesn't work the same as it did 30 years ago. Things hurt that I used to didn't know I had. It's a fact of life. But you know, as I get older and move more toward that, the idea of being with Jesus is sweeter all the time. And we were not created for this side. This is warm up for that side. Eternal life has broken the power of death. The power of death is the belief that this life is all there is, but the truth is, life is eternal and it never ends. The power of death is the belief that this life is to be desired most. But the truth is, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The power of death is the belief that death is unknown. We can't know anything about it, but on the contrary, we do know some things about death. I'm borrowing this from Dallas Willard, but he gave us three things that I want to share with you. Three things that we can know about death. First, we will not die alone. How can you show that from the scripture? Do you remember Luke 16 when the rich man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham? Do you remember that? He was not alone. Do you remember Jesus at the transfiguration? He's talking to Moses and Elijah, not alone. Have you ever been around a loved one that is getting ready to pass on? And they begin to talk to people that's already gone. I have. You know, some scoffers would say, well, it's just a trick of the mind, or it's just the mind thinking that, or some kind of delusion. Ladies and gentlemen, heaven is no delusion. And you will not die alone. The Bible says concerning Jesus, he will never leave us nor forsake us. There will never be a time when we'll be alone. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. When we get ready to pass through that gate, God will be there to usher us through. We don't die alone, and secondly, we will never cease to be. You are now created to live forever, and you're going to live forever either with God or separated from God. We're not going to cease to be. How can you prove that? Everybody here knows from the book of Jeremiah where he says, I know the plans I have for you. We quote that, right? Well, if you believe God has a plan for you, do you think God's going to, at your death, say, oops, so much for that? God's plan for you extends past this life. I wish I could make everybody see this. I see it clearer than I ever have in my whole life. There is going to be life after death. And we will have things to do in life after death. We will have a purpose. We're not going to just sit on puffy clouds playing a harp. And that's good because only Luke can figure out how to play a harp. We're not just going to sit around and eat moon pies. We're going to be doing something. In fact, it looks to me like there's going to be sort of a government with King Jesus at the top. It looks like we're going to have responsibilities in the next life. Guys, this isn't it. And in fact, if you could compare, if you could really get a picture of what it looks like over there, if you could look at what it looks like over there compared to what it looks like here, if we'd be honest, we'd all prefer to be there. And people would say, well, I can't prefer to be there because I like it better here. You see, what I understand is that one of the reasons why people don't want that life because they prefer this life. And when you prefer this life, you live under the slavery of the fear of death, because no matter how good it is in this life, no matter what is happening, no matter how much pleasure you have, it's going to one day go away. No matter how much money you make, one day it will belong to somebody else. No matter what it is you're looking for on this side, it will never be heaven. See, to be saved, you have to repent of this world and desire that world. That's the way it is. A lot of people don't want this, because they want what they can see. God's not done with us. God loves us. And God has a plan for us. And this isn't it. This is it. How do you live for this world while being in this world? Paul said, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. Anyone who comes to me believing will never die. And then he makes an astounding statement. Says, do you believe this? You tell me. Has the resurrection changed you? Has it changed how you live? Has it changed how you approach death? People reject resurrection life because they prefer this life. And in this life, you live under the shadow of the fear of death. You remember David writing in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What's the rest of it? Say it where you are. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Everything I've said today was written in Psalm 23. Bad thing is, we read Psalm 23 at a funeral. It needs to be read more while we're here to get us ready for there. You see, I don't know if 2020 is my last year, and neither do you. But you've got two choices. You can walk around every day scared to death that it is, or you can live your life. I want to tell you, this message is so timely because I see so many people afraid. Can I just be honest with you? You can't turn on a news report anywhere without hearing the term deadly virus. When 3% of the people that contract the virus die, you have more of a chance of getting killed on the interstate trying to cross into Kentucky because somebody is trying to text and drive at the same time. Way more chance that's going to get you than this virus. And yet the entire country has shut down and almost completely stopped for fear of death. Amazing to me. We walk around scared to death. I want you to know, I want to testify by the power of having faith in God and faith in the resurrection. Since this has happened, I haven't stopped one thing that I wanted to do. Not one. I will not stop living. I will not stop serving the Lord. And I will not live in this slavery of the fear of death. What if you get sick, Brian? If I do, that's God's business. What if you die? That's God's business. My thing is, what if you don't? I'm not going to be sitting around hiding under a table because I'm afraid something might happen. I went to Mexico the week before this all happened, and some were saying, boy, you probably shouldn't go. I'm like, why? They'd say, what if you get stuck there? I'm like, and? They have tacos there. They say, what if you can't get across the border? And? So what if they don't let the planes fly? I know where Nuevo Laredo is. I said to somebody, I know how to swim too. I can swim across the river. The thing is, I don't get nervous about that. And it's not because I'm super spiritual. It's because I believe in the resurrection and I believe in the power of God and I believe in the plan of God. God has invested in me. He shed real blood for me and He has given me something to do and I will do it all the days of my life. And I want to submit to you that's a way better way to live than walking around scared to death about something you cannot see and something you cannot know. I'm going to do a video this week about the fact that we need some activity. Do you, all of y'all feel that way? Need to get busy again, don't we? Need to do something. Is anybody tired of couch potatoes? Netflix? Just wasting time? We don't have to waste our time. God can show you what to do. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to warn those who are idle. I want to talk about that this week, so make sure you tune in. God didn't call us to be idle. God called us to be active. And God is able to show you what He wants you to do. You just got to be willing to do it. You come in before the Lord, who is the highest authority. God, what do you want me to do? And then you obey what He tells you to do. See, the choice is yours today. Are you going to live like He's alive? Are you going to live like you're alive? Are you going to live like you're going to live forever? Or are you going to live under the slavery of the shadow of death? It's up to you. Choice is clear. It's fear or faith. Wherever you are, say that. Fear or faith. It's your choice. I don't know what's going to happen this year. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The fear would say, what if I die? Faith will say, I will never die. The fear says, I have to do it all, get it all, and experience it all. Because why? Because I'm losing. Eventually, I'm going to die. So I got to do it all, have it all, experience it all, save it all, enjoy it all. That's like the eat, sleep, and drink for tomorrow we die. You ever notice that doesn't work? You know, the people in the world that have the most money are the most miserable. Did you ever notice that? Now, that doesn't mean every rich person is miserable, but I know a whole lot of people, you can read it any time on social media, people coming out of rich places that are criticizing poor people who can't work because we want to work. Amen, Brian, just say it. And you got all of these people that's got all of this stuff, and it's never enough. They end up addicted to drugs, addicted to things. They end up sick anyway. You know what happens to every one of them? Every one of them one day will die. And the reason why they're always seeking pleasure and having more and more and more and more and more, because they're trying to numb the slavery of the fear of death. Fear would say, I got to do it all, have it all, save it all, enjoy it all, drink it all, smoke it all. Faith would say, I already have it all. And since I have it all, I can give it all. And when I have it all and I give it all, I can live it all. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know it's the people that's living by faith in Jesus Christ. They are alive. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Ladies and gentlemen, his death makes me alive. As he has trampled over death, so have I. The Bible says we are more than overcomers through him who loved us and gave his life for us. Praise God. The choice is yours. You can live under the slavery or you can overcome. How can you overcome? Jesus has already destroyed the power of the strong man. Everybody knows Revelation 12. If you don't, you should. It talks about people of God that overcame. Do you want to know what type of character people are that overcome? The Bible says they triumphed over him, who? The devil. Have you ever caught that you can beat the devil? Yeah. Triumphed over him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. Everyone knows that. But most people forget the last line. We can put that on the screen. The Bible says, they did not love their lives so much to shrink from death. They didn't live in the fear of death. These are people in the early church days. May very well be people today. In fact, I'll tell you, it is people today. There are people in China right now that are meeting together in secret because if the government caught them, they would kill them. There are believers in India right now that are meeting together with the fear that at any moment, the government officials could come in and drag somebody off and kill them. It happens every day. The New Testament disciples were commanded, you shall not preach in the name of Jesus. And they looked at those authorities and said, we will obey God rather than man. They did not shrink from death. And when you have that faith in Jesus, it changes everything and you overcome the evil one. Ladies and gentlemen, since Jesus beat death, we can beat death. So today I ask you, if you believe that you'll never die, how will that change your life? Can we get more practical? How does this truth change you today?